Our Lord Jesus said, "There is a time coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." John 4:24. This is an odd privilege today, March 14th, 2021. As in place of our normal worship service, we're gathering again online as we did for 10 weeks during the height of the COVID pandemic. But it's a privilege that we hold dear to be able to play wonderful music and preach the Word of God without any hesitation, knowing that God will lead the people He wants to hear it, to join in the special worship of the Sovereign Grace Church of Casper, Wyoming. We're glad you've come to join us today in this unusual time, and we trust your heart will be blessed as we worship together. That was the combined choirs, orchestra, and handbells of Maranatha Baptist University in Watertown, Wisconsin, a school dear to our hearts, where my wife and I both met and then later graduated, where I finished my seminary, where all three of our children graduated and met their spouses, and where in just a few weeks I'll be able to be closer to the campus, living only a mile or two away. This is Dr. Bob Griffin, the pastor, teaching elder of Sovereign Grace Church here in Casper. And as would happen, even though this is one of the last sermons that I'll be preaching, we were faced with a unique Sunday. With snow and already falling, warnings of a foot or more overnight and during our morning worship even more, with winds picking up and the roads in and out of town totally closed already, the Weather Service asked people to stay home for their own safety. So our elders made an unprecedented decision to move our service online, as we had during the COVID threat. And personally, I'd rather deal with snow than with COVID. But I was looking forward to preaching. Why? Well, to be completely honest, mostly personal. For today is my birthday. I reached 73 years of age. I even had special treats for everyone who came to church today. But now I am forced to eat them all. I know, how tragic. In a few days, on Wednesday, we'll be remembering St. Bob's Day. Now, you might call it St. Patrick's Day, but I call it St. Bob's Day because on March 17, 1957, I saw myself as a hell-deserving sinner, without hope, without help, without anything I could do. And I repented of my sin and trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ to be my salvation. And on that day, I was born again. So calling it St. Bob's Day is personal for me. As I mentioned, I only have 5 Sundays, including this one, to preach until I retire after 50 years of full-time gospel ministry. And it's also personal because I love to preach. I love to take the Word of God and explain it, help people have the light turn on in their heads and the Spirit move in their hearts. I trust God will use some word, some song, some story, some illustration or thought to touch the heart of each person who listens every time I preach. So, even though we can't be together as a church body today, we can be together in the Word of God. I pondered at 8 p.m. on a Saturday night when the elders agreed that we should, for the first time ever, cancel our church service. I thought, what would I preach? What would I say? And God led some thoughts to my mind, but before we share those, we'd like to share another song with you.
Arise, my soul, arise, shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne he stands. Before the throne he stands, my name is written on his hand. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. Before the throne of grace, before the throne of grace, he gladly takes my sinful place. My bleeding wounds he bears, we see on Calvary.
Forgive, forgive, they cry. Forgive.
In pondering the topic of this message, I thought, for the preaching of the cross is to those who perish foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Preaching does seem foolish. Many folks would like church services to simply be a time of fellowship, of singing. They call the music part the worship. And then, oh yeah, you have to endure the 15 or 20 minute sermon, or in our case, the 50 or 60 minute sermon, just as the price of admission to the church. But preaching itself does seem sort of foolish. Not much different than teaching a class in school or listening to some politician rant or rave. But the focus is what makes preaching different. Notice St. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to those who perish foolishness. But to us, it's power. You see, the focus is what is the important part of preaching. Without that, it's just another speech. It's just another lecture. Preaching must be biblical. Without indispensable facts, preaching is of little value. Now, the key word is without. In thinking in my own family, I think, well, without diapers, when the baby begins to eat solid food, we are in trouble in our house. Without washing of hands, my mom used to say, there's no supper. I kept saying, I'm not going to operate, just eat dinner, but no, I had to wash my hands. And without a date, you know, some of our girls think there's no hope as they dream of Harry in the light blue jeans. I want to look at a few verses of Scripture this morning that remind us that without the Bible base, without the truth of God's Word, there is no real biblical preaching. First, without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22 says that. The necessity of the shed blood, that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it was given on altars to cover sin in ancient Judaism. But Jesus said sin could be not just covered, but forgiven. Taken away, gone. We hear the word remission and we think of cancer, but the remission of sin is a far greater miracle. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Number two, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith is what we do after what God did. He shed the blood. He provided the salvation. He works in the heart. And then we believe. Remember, faith is a noun, believe is a verb, but they're the same root word in the Greek. It's the action of our believing, of our faith, leads us into this. And without that faith, we can't please God. Number three, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14, a few verses later, says, strive for holiness, without which no one will see God. We must be holy, righteous. This is not something we become through a series of good works or good thoughts. Christ died to forgive us of our sins. We're already partakers of his holiness. We must act out this holiness in our thinking and in our living. Another verse that uses the word without is in James 2:26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Did you catch that? Without works, faith is dead. We demonstrate the inward faith we have by outward action. No one can see our heart. No one can see what we believe, but they can see our life. And our life is the gospel that most people will read. They prove the reality of the invisible. It's like saying, put your money where your mouth is. For a living, true faith produces good works. I found the word without again in 1 Corinthians 13. Verses 1 and 2, it says, if I am without love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have faith to remove mountains, yet without love, I am nothing. Without love, I am nothing. Love must temper all I do and say. I can proclaim the truth, but if I don't share it in love, the truth sounds harsh. The truth sounds strident and debate. And God wants it to be winsome and reachable. The people will want to see the gospel. They'll want to hear the message because we have a message based in love. John the apostle wrote, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and truly knows God. Jesus added in John 13:35, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Number six, you say, how long is this going to go, preacher? Well, 7 points, that's a holy, perfect number, so let's stop there. But number six, without discipline, you are not sons. Hebrews 12:8 says, if you're without correction, which all must receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons of God. Discipline is good. Now, we use words like guilt and punishment and judgment and even sin, much less hell. All terms modern man doesn't want to hear. But in a family, if a father abrogates his responsibility by siring a child and then failing to raise him, to teach him discipline and character. We shake our heads and say, what will become of that young person? Well, God sees us and watches us, and he corrects us and disciplines us and guides us, showing that we are his sons, and not just in word only, but in reality. And then finally, without Jesus, you can do nothing. John 15:5, in the parable, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, without me, you can do nothing. God gives us this wonderful power, the power in Christ for salvation, so that we can rest in the era of turmoil and struggle, in the worry and fear that grips our society today. We can have the assurance of God saving us and providing us that wonderful goal of heaven when we die. But heaven is more than just the long-term goal. Living heavenly, that is, living with a heavenly aspect to each of the things we do, is called sanctification, how we be more and more like God. That's been my goal throughout life, and though I could share with you some stories of failure, I'd like to share the story of joy, of learning to love and grow closer and dearer with my wonderful Savior. And then service. What a joy it is that we can serve God. We can serve him in our personal life, in our prayer, in our reading of his word and study, in our growing in the grace that we have. We can serve him in our families. We can serve him in our communities. We serve him in our churches. As I mentioned, we'll be retiring, and our church is needing people to step up and say, I will be willing to serve. Some of it is tasks that aren't glamorous, that probably no one will know. Others might be in areas in front of everyone, in public areas of service. But John Milton, the great poet and writer of Paradise Lost and Found, went blind in his older days, and he wondered how God could use him then. He could no longer stand up and speak. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. And he said, even in that condition, I can serve by simply waiting. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on others. Serving God. You say, well, if I can't do all the things you do, preacher, well, God didn't ask you to do that. But can you pray? Can you share the gospel with others? Can you live a life to his glory so that others will receive the message in the works you do, in the life you lead, not just in the words you say? We all can serve, but we must do it through the strength and the power of our Lord Jesus. Might he take these few thoughts on without and help you to see how you can grow a little bit closer to him today, and how every message, every sermon needs to be centered and biblical in the precious truth of the gospel. For it is, remember, the foolishness of preaching but not just preaching, but preaching the gospel, the preaching of the cross that matters. We have the privilege of preaching through the book of Habakkuk recently, and the wonderful verses there were put to music by a little church group that meets much like ours, with 30 or 40 people singing, sometimes a piano, sometimes a guitar, but able to sing the truth of the scriptures of Habakkuk, asking God in wrath, remember mercy. We're glad you joined us this morning for our brief service. And just a reminder that to pray for one another, support one another. Be careful if you're traveling today anywhere in the Mountain West where all of a sudden spring disappeared and the midst of winter is upon us. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us in the eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your heart and strengthen you in every good deed and word. God bless us all.